The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Today's secret melody is... Now, the next time you hear that on the show, call the station, hum it, and here's our answer to tell you how you're going to win.
You'll win nothing. Yes, you'll get absolutely nothing for repeating a secret melody, but keep trying if the phones are busy.
Maybe that's the melody.
The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on.
And if you missed that,
The Frank is on.
Mother, thank you. My father, thank you. My sister, thank you. My mother, thank you. My mother, thank you. My sister, thank you. My father, thank you. My sister, thank you. My mother, thank you. My mother, thank you. My father, thank you. My mother, thank you. My mother, thank you. My sister, thank you. My father, thank you. My sister, thank you. My mother, thank you. My mother, thank you. My father, thank you. My mother thanks you. My mother thanks you. My sister thanks you. My father thanks you. My mother thanks you. My sister thanks you. My father thanks you. My mother thanks you. My sister thanks you. My mother thanks you. My mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. My mother thanks you. My mother thanks you. My sister thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.
See anyone move against you first. He'll set up a meeting with someone that you absolutely trust, guaranteeing your safety. And at that meeting, you'll be assassinated. I like to drink wine more than I used to. Anyway, I'm drinking more.
It's good for you, Bob.
I don't know. Your wife and children, are you happy with them?
Very happy.
That's good. Hope you don't mind the way I keep going over this Bassini business.
No, not at all.
It's an old habit. I spend my life trying not to be careless. Women and children can be careless, but not men. How's your boy?
He's good.
You know, he looks more like you every day.
He's smarter than I am. 3 years old, he can read the funny papers.
Read the funny papers. I want you to arrange to have a telephone man check all the calls that go over. You know,
I did it already, Pop.
Good man.
Pop,
anyone.
I took care of that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
What's the matter? What's bothering you? I'll handle it. I told you I can handle it. I'll handle it.
Thank you. I knew that Santana was going to have to go through all this. And Fredo... Fredo was... And I never wanted this for you. I worked my whole life. I don't apologize to take care of my family. And I refused to be a fool. Dancing on a string held by all those big shots. I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that... But when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. Something.
Another peasant of Anta.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop. We'll get there.
Now listen, whoever comes to you with a Sparzini meeting, he's a traitor. Don't forget that.
That's its control over there, you know what I mean?
The man, the Barter Broadcasting, is now on the air. Relentlessly, undubitably, me, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, Mike Cotolo, Eric Cotolo, chronicling philosophical entertainment, relevant, irreverence, netterati, couple surface, netaholics, and infomaniacs. Now's the time to really pay attention. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Many of you may think there aren't many more bordellos, but there are still plenty of them. And we are proud to call them a member of this network as people go about their bordello business. Listening to me in the background, me, Frank Cotolo, man's name is on the title of the show. Hey, Y2K plus 13. On this noisy evening, I feel like I'm in a submarine or something tonight. I don't feel like I'm actually it's not a studio, whatever it might be. Very strange. A lot of noise is going on. A lot of humming and noise is going on. A lot of ambience, a lot of white noise and buzzing. And that's just the way the case may be, as it is this Y2K plus 13. A lot of talking in the background, too. Here, you want your show here? And here now, here's the Ray Show.
All right, tonight we have Jeremy Long, the local comedian. He's here with us on the topic. You never gave me the topic, okay. And the first time ever on the show, Frank has actually handed it off to the next veteran here, I guess you want to call it here, on Y2K plus 13. Now, what's the topic anyways?
Parenting.
Parenting?
Parents, parenting.
Oh, what? what? How are we supposed to go from there? Why? How? What do you know about parenting? I mean, how about we start with that?
There he comes.
Oh. Wait, this wasn't serious? This wasn't a serious gig?
No, I don't want to lose my audience. And this is, you know, there are people out there who are, believe it or not, these people out there are...
are they seeking intelligence?
No, they're not seeking intelligence. Actually, they're actually waiting. It was a little Frank told what happened. There's only this squeaky kid. There's another guy here. What's going on? And there's a noise going on here and all this stuff here going on. This is like... giving the asylum over to the insaniacs. Did you hear me? I just said that? The asylum, turning the asylum over to the insaniacs. That's a brand new word I just got, insaniacs. Who else is here? I got people all around. Jeremy Long is here. Well, some of the ambiance going about there.
In case you ever left again, I was working on my Frank Cotola impression so that no one would know that you were gone. here, I'll give you a little bit. This is my Frank Cotola impression.
So here we are on Cotola Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotola, and the man's name is doing the title of the show.
Hey, what do you think of that? That was pretty good, right? Hours in front of the mirror practicing that one.
Later on, he's going to do mime. Mime on radio. There's an exciting old joke there. It's unseasonably warm this evening. I didn't expect this. And as usual, I always have to work with the various adversities that do surface. And somehow or other, in this deep, dark part of August, we find ourselves... Who the heck dribbled on... Look at this, dribbling on the mic stand. Well, I guess that was your dribble on the mic stand, huh?
It could be my sweat.
It's not that hot. But anyway, join us because you need to join us. We are coming apart at the seams. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. I was going to actually start off with something poignant, but I don't think that's possible because tonight's show is only for teenagers. That's right. If you're 11 through 14, take out your hand puppets, everyone. We're going to get going. Now, we are going to talk about, and if you guys want to contribute sanely and with some various forms of intelligence, I would appreciate that very much because we are going to...
Is that why I don't qualify?
Huh?
Is that why I don't qualify to host the show?
Little finger just tapping me on the shoulder and say, yeah, actually, you find... I wish I had a large dose of heroin right now. I may hand the show over to you guys eventually. We are here, Y2K plus 13. Let's get through some business. The what?
Are we taking Skype calls again?
Yeah, right. There's nobody ever calls. It's like we could take Skype calls.
All of you have heroin that you are willing to sell.
Careful, you know, the NSA is listening and... Next thing you know, they'll be barging through the door. How do you barge through a door anyway? You know, that's an old Southern phrase. Barge through comes from using barges down the Mississippi. Because you could always go, you know, you couldn't go up the Mississippi. You can only go down river. You could not go up the Mississippi. Up your Mississippi, that's what I got to say. How about this? So we hear Y2K plus 13. I'm going to tell you I'm going to change the mood, Doug, back to how I thought it was going to open the show. With a poignant story about parents, and then go into various other things about parents. Because I know a lot of you out there, whether you have parents or don't, well, we all had parents. It's not like we don't, we all had them or have them, or one or the other, or none or both. And so there's any number of things that come up culturally and, of course, personally. I don't mean personally, because I'm not, although I can impart some tales of parents, as I often do. Very, very much I do that, an awful lot, because I think it's very important, and it makes a lot of points, which I like to make. So we'll do that, but we do have to do things like tell you what's happening over the next couple of weeks and what's going on. First of all, the books. We'll tell you about the books. I'll just run the book spots here in a second. But I want to say that next week, at this time live on Cotola Chronicles, the one and only Phil Hung will be here with this microphone right next to me. He'll be doing various... We'll be running the entire SRN Media Works directly from my seat right here, and the two seats and the three seats we have. And I implore you to come by and listen to that, because we're bound to, we don't know what the subject's going to be or what we're going to do, but this is monumental. While Phil is here, we're going to be producing any number of wonderful spots and things and that he has in mind, or we think about, or we come up with, or whatever, hopefully, while he's in this part of North America. And we're going to be doing stuff. Stuff is as I like to put it. Remember, I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. And we're going to have a good time there. So that's the SRN Media Works first after like 10 years. 10 years on SRN Media Works coming this year. It'll be a decade on there. Then another decade before that on Amcast.com. And then before that, we just did it talking to the walls because there was no internet. But we did it constantly. So we have not been rehearsing. We've just been doing it. We only had tapes of those. We could put those tapes on and go to sleep and not even do the show. But we are doing it right now. So there's that. We want to remind you that For Culture, the new For Culture is coming out, forculture.com. You got to get over to For Culture and see what's going on there. There's, aside from my wonderful pieces that appear there every in this wonderful digital magazine that is right now, it's free. It's free. What do you want? What more do you want? You can get it on your iPhone, your iPod. You can get it on your iBlaster. What are the other ones called? There's an iPod, iPhone, iPad. Isn't there another? Isn't there something iPad? There's an iBoard or a board or a iBall. On your eye, you see it on your eyeball. You see it with your eyeballs on your iPad and your iPod. Oh boy! And take ibuprofen. That's the stuff that's in trouble, isn't it? I'm not going to go into that because this is not one of those shows where we give you the news. In fact, nothing is new with this show whatsoever. But you are listening. Forculture.com. Go there, and also you can click. We're going to be having some special little things on For Culture Radio. There's actually 2 days a week. I think they play all sorts of music from the magazine and the artists in the magazine. They play me saying things, and God knows you enjoy me saying things. Not like this things either. Different things. You did different things. Not the yes, right? I use words that you don't hear me use on this show. You're going to enjoy that. The Artist D is there, Velvet Steel is there, and they're also on Juiced Talk. Now, that's where you can go and get these shows and anything else that you seem to want to have. You know, I was thinking as that mayhem that happened at the beginning of the show, that little mayhem with the people. You know, that's very much what internet radio was like when the first internet talk radio I ever heard. So I was the first talk show, but there was actually talk. I mean, when they broadcast live, there were like four guys who eventually were all worked on Amcast.com, or all had music and stuff there. They sat around, they drank, they got high, they did whatever it is guys do or did in those days, which is probably the same thing they do now, and probably the same thing they did in the Roman Empire, just with different clothes, because they didn't wear these kind of things. Or the floppy little, Doofus Magoo shorts that everybody's wearing out there. Doofus Magoo. Do you wear Doofus Magoo shorts? I used to sell...
I just came from the gym.
I used to sell... What?
I just came from the gym.
What gym?
You know...
I don't know. I didn't know you were in a gym. What were you doing?
My Uncle Jim's house.
He came from his Uncle Jim's house. Oh, that was the joke. So, well, you got to tell me now and then. So, they should just have these signs. A lot of you people may have heard my stories about how much I hate, I don't care how hot it becomes or anything. I will not wear shorts. This is a very, very... Is that any way to get my attention?
Well,
this
I'm
is just
to
like
do it
this is just like it. But so there goes the mic.
Everyone at home is probably wondering why you hate shorts.
So, well, I did that show already. I'm just going to tell you that I'm just going to be judgmental. Something I do very well. I'm going to do this and be very judgmental and say that everybody and anyone of any age. And, you know, this is what's amazing to me. And I could understand younger boys like you guys and those hip thugs out there where they show the crack of their backs there, you know, and they're walking around saying things like, the cops are the flops and the Migas and the Briggas and the Ron and the Bond and they go to my car. That's where I are. I'm doing, you know, I understand those guys.
Dope.
Yeah, then we get dope, and I got no hope. I don't know Bob Hope. He's too old for me. I got a goal for me. I whatever. They're singing. Okay.
Words.
So, yeah, words. Doing their rap. I can understand these guys if that's part of the whole thing. But then I go to stores. I go to restaurants. I go to places like that where the public does congregate. And men of my generation are wearing doofus Magoo shorts. The doofus Magoo shorts that everyone wears. Look, your thing, his, look at this. And then, I'm appalled. I'm appalled at people of my age walking around with doofus Magoo shorts. This is just absurd. I think it goes to show that the real adults are men who wear pants. Men who wear pants. I am one of those men. So you guys could wear your doofus Magoo stuff. Here's a good question, though, and I've asked this 100 times, if not 1,000 times, but I'm not counting. How much cooler are you if you're only wearing pants that go down half the way of full pants? Like, could you tell me, is there a scientific study?
Think about this.
All you do is, it's like short sleeves. How much cooler are you without?
Are you talking like cooler, like people think you look cooler, or are you talking cooler like you're not as hot? Because
let me tell you the history of shorts, okay, very briefly, in that someone somewhere, sometime, my father, the history teacher, would tell it. Speaking of parents, this is my father, the history teacher. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, someone said, why don't we rip off half of the pants from, like, the knees down, and we'll be cooler? And he meant we'll actually not sweat as much, we'll feel better, we'll be, you know, cool. I mean, cool weather-wise, temperature-wise. Someone said that. And then the other guy said, that's ridiculous, then they'll be shorts. They'll be shorts. That's exactly what we'll call them, said the man who originally said, let's cut the pants at the knees. Shorts. They'll be shorts. Do you know that until there were shorts that people wore out, that their underwear was long, too? All underwear was long. There was no such thing as underwear that was short, briefs. Everything was long. If you wore stuff under your pants, it was long pants. It was just another pair of pants. Tight pants. Didn't you ever see Shakespeare plays, leotards, that stuff?
Yeah.
Don't they teach you this stuff in college?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they know. I just didn't know what's going to come up in the conversation tonight. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Atoll. I'm a man named Adorns, the title of the show. We're going to sell some books, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to start this conversation. And I guess it's going to be a conversation. I will ask for... I'm not going to open up the Skype, because I tell you, I'm just sick and tired of this.
Are you sure?
Why? Do you think...
Someone could call in.
Okay, you know what we'll do? We'll sign into Skype just in case. It's not going to happen.
If no one calls in tonight, I think we'll just never do the show again.
You know, I think that's a good idea. Here we are in the last Cthulhu Chronicles. Because if it's going to continue like this, I could think about 10 other places I'd rather be. Don't go away. Stay with us. We're here on Y2K plus 13. My name is Frank Atoll. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. And, you know, this is the first talk show that ever got onto internet radio. It's still here, and it's going to stay here. And there's just nothing like it anywhere. And even a bad Cthulhu Chronicle, a bad time, a bad chronicling of Cthulhu. How would you say this? A bad. Are you okay? A bad chronicling by Cthulhu on a Thursday night. What do you mean, no? He defies me. Is better than listening to anything else like this. There's nothing else like this. So do that. We're going to sign into... You know what? Maybe we should do random call. Maybe we should do this. I never worked either. I did one show a while back where I just, it says, you know, pick anybody and call them on Skype. Yeah. And it goes, and there's nobody. It was amazing. There's 8 million people have Skype accounts, and I can't get one person at random. I know. The whole internet's a sham.
Who's calling?
This is just a complete sham, the whole thing. We'll be back in a second after we hear about these books. And I tell you, you better start buying these books, friends. You better start buying these books. I'm going to get your, especially now that they're digital.
Yeah.
$2.99, $3.99. What are you talking about here, you know?
I bought each of them.
Get them. Yeah, I can't blame you. There are people who buy them, but, you know, a lot of you people who are listening here and get everything for nothing should be reading these things. I don't know. It just makes me angry. Speaking of making me angry, Jiggy Jaguar does this particular one. Here we go.
Hi, this is the Jigmund Freud, yes, better known as Jiggy Jaguar, reminding everyone within earshot that Frank Cotolo's new book, More Top Memoirs, is now available at blurb.com. I know there is not one of you out there that ever trusts a word I say, but this time I mean it when I tell you that you will not be sorry. You're not going to be sorry when you buy and read More Top Memoirs by Frank Cotolo. So go to blurb.com and buy a copy or two or more. You may regret knowing me, but you will never regret buying More Top Memoirs.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
How many times do they upgrade the various programs? It's nuts, because here we are. He has a new upgraded Skype or something, or they add things. I'm getting really tired of this. You know, there was a time when a lot of things went wrong on the internet while you were on it and stuff, and you had, you know, various problems. But now the problems are all commercial oriented. It's like you get these pop-ups and these Windows updates, and I don't know what they're doing with these. And then when they do that, you got to restart your computer. If you have other programs, then you got to restart those, and you got to reconfigure those and configure this. And then you got to figure out how to go to your server, and then you have to figure out how to get to your registry, and the server's on the registry, and the registry's on the server. And then you got to save all your files, and you got to get Carbonite, and you got to save your files because somebody's going to hack you, and then someone's not going to hack you, and then someone's going to steal your identity. Someone, you know, I never had, and you people might know this, you might remember this, from the very beginning, I never kept anything from anyone in terms of my identity. I'm a very easy person to find out about, and because I always feel like a darn good thief or someone who's really good is going to be able to do that anyway, some way. So no matter how much you protect yourself, matter of fact, a lot of the people who have protected themselves have had their identity stolen. Now, the other thing is this, anybody who even hears me would realize there's just no use in stealing my identity. It's like, it's just not going to work, and you don't want it to work. In fact, if you were a thief and you stole my identity and put that on your thief's resume, you would lose points for that. It was like, you know, you're looking to steal his identity. Him? That's crazy.
Well, we see, the president. Oh, the Pope. Good. Frank, I'm sorry, you can't have this job.
You're out of here for stealing the incorrect identity. Now, look, go and get those books. You can do it just like you do all this other stuff. Get Molotov Memoirs. I want to start on another one. There's two books. There's 3M. Oh, is it 2M? Well, I forgot the name of it. We've got another More Molotov Memoirs. I think it was More Molotov Memoirs. God knows I got a lot of memories. I got more 3M. Molotov Memoirs. Another one which has a number of different titles. It's a series of stories about my past lives. It's a very good. Yes, it's a wonderful book. I've had these recollections that goes back even further than my Molotov Man. This lifetime, obviously. All the many lifetimes I have had. And it's what?
The documentary will be coming out soon. They don't even have to read these books. They can just watch or rent the movie.
Don't say they don't have to read the books. Well, you're a lot of help. Well, they're not going to buy the documentary. You know, I mean, they don't even buy the book. Is it going to be on YouTube or what?
Yeah, if YouTube, if you have to start paying for YouTube, then we'll put it on YouTube.
What do you? Oh no, no. How else are anybody going to see this? Jeremy, of course, has been producing a documentary of moi. God only knows why. Probably because if he did it, number one, I was accessible, so I'm available, and number two, I don't care if he had someone else, even more prominence in this area. Or someone at a school, or someone around the area here in Pennsylvania, which is a very, very a state just adorned with smart people and people who have no history. And you ever watch that PCN channel? I do when I can't go to sleep. And you know, all these things they have, all these people that might be out there that you could have done a documentary that could have been the source of your documentary, and you chose me because obviously I don't care. They care. They would say things like they would care about how they dressed on camera, what they said, and you know me. I mean, I said everything. Did I ever stop and go, no, don't do that?
No.
Exactly. No, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
That's why I picked you. That I didn't have a lot of other options.
That and I didn't have other options, right? Did Willie Mays die yet?
I don't know.
Because you could have done Willie Mays. Does he still? I think he lived in Pennsylvania for a while. Do you know you have a twitch? Do you have a twitch?
No, no. I just have an itchy nose right now.
Okay, we're going to move on now. I want to tell you something else before I start. Before I try to drop kick this show, drop kick it or reboot it. What?
In all seriousness, I think the reason I picked you is summed up in the tagline for the documentary, which is tenacity and gratitude.
I remember both of them like they were brothers, tenacity and gratitude. Tenacity and gratitude. Tenacity and I'm going to look that up. That's maybe too serious for me. I may have to pull out of the project now. I may have to just quit and walk away.
We'll change it to poops and farts.
You know why I can't quit anything? Because I've never done anything to quit. It really, if you think about it, I've never done a thing, so I can't like quit. Because I don't mean done anything, like when you do stuff. You know, speaking of all this, this really does all have to do with parents, because everything that we're talking about in terms of our motivations, our respect we have for others, how we see the world, all has to do with parents. I'm not going to do this directly. This is not going to be one of those personal shows where I just laugh up the in my influences, and certainly my parents, who I loved dearly, but they were, you know, they whacked out. They were whacked. And I think it has a lot to do with me. And I'm just saying that because I know that you too, every one of you, I'm pointing to you, is either now, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm pointing to all of you, are experiencing the same exact thing. And if you ever want to sit back, and think about what the hell is wrong with you, and I gotta tell you, there's a lot wrong with you. You gotta start thinking about your parents, and especially important in relationships. Who you're with, why you're with them, what they do, why it annoys you, everything, all this stuff. It all has to do with your parents or how you grew up or how many, you know, whatever's going on. And you don't need to spend billions of dollars on a seat of a psychiatrist to figure a lot of stuff out. But also the parents' role in pop culture takes on this template character of mother and father. And how we look at that, and I think went during the collage, the opening. Of course, we played that very famous scene, classic scene, of Michael Corleone talking to his father, or his father talking to him, Pop, about what has happened, passing on the torch from father to son, and the way the son wants to take care of things, the way the father took care of things. You know, all that crap. All that crap that goes on and for everything. And I had some, I actually didn't have notes, I just had things there. But it's true. If we look at, if we just look at the mother, father, mama, daddy, daddy, papa, if we look at all these phrases that we use for our parents, we find that they make their way into pop culture, and we use these phrases, and we understand things through the images of parents. And I'm just, now let me stop for a moment and just tell you that we did leave, we are leaving the Skype thing open. I don't want to waste any time with this. No one's going to call. But maybe we'll just, you know, call someone else. We'll just call someone in the
delete
middle of the
Skype if no one calls today.
It's what?
Just delete your Skype if no one calls us this show.
Yeah, I could, you know, that's not even a good threat because nobody would care. Nobody would care if I deleted it. You know what I'm going to do? Who cares? No one cares.
I think it's a good thing that Ray bombarded the show and accosted us at the beginning because, unfortunately, you're his father, so...
It does, and it does often, because he's here during the summer an awful lot. And he's on Twitter doing, I don't know what he's doing now. He's doing what kids do, 14-year-old kids. It's amazing how this kid, when I speak about parents, but I mean, I am his parent. I am a parent, and I'm a parent of two boys. But he, it's amazing how he slips in and out, and I don't remember doing that. I remember slipping in and out of this certain puerile characteristic. You know, I'm a kid. It's a funny thing being a teenager because you're not a kid and yet you're not an adult. You're in that middle ground of identity, and you're stuck with looking at your authority figures. In fact, it was Ray who gave me the idea for this. Ray, and he's not even listening now. He's got a headphone. Let's go interrupt his show. That's what I'm going to do next time you're on. You know, Ray does a racing show with some adults. And and I never come in and do those things. Ray? Oh, there he is. Ray, you were the guy who actually gave me the idea for this this particular theme. With where did you get that video you sent me about the boy and his father?
College Humor.
So there's something. So if we look that up now, is that something you have to see, or can you actually listen? Could you listen to it?
Yeah, you could.
Okay, let's listen to it. Why don't you key it in right here?
Okay.
And we're going to listen to something that Ray sent to me, and this is a good place to. This is a good place to start. It's a video about. What is it? The six ways you'll see
your dad.
The six ways you'll see your dad. Is that it?
Yes.
Let's listen to this and then come back.
We might get an advertisement.
I don't want this.
Oh, well, we got an advertisement.
No.
We gotta
no,
wait for it to skip.
Okay, here it is. We don't...
Hurry before we...
Yeah, I know, but I didn't want the whole script. Here we go. Listen to this, and then we'll get back.
This is you at age 5. And these are the six ways you'll see your dad. How does he do that? Of the 10 people you've met so far, he's definitely the best. He's strong enough to open the peanut butter with one hand, agile enough to get the straw into the Capri Sun without bending it, and smart enough to know the answer to pretty much everything.
Dad, how much money does the president make?
Oh! $1 billion, son.
Everything. We're not talking about the good type of clown.
Oh, hey, buddy. Want to lift home? Hop in.
Because there are no good types of clowns. They're all weird and unfunny. And so is he. His wardrobe makes cartoon characters look stylish. Carrot Top thinks his jokes are a little broad. Sometimes he dances. Oh, Jesus. He's imitating the waiter's accent again. The only thing that could be worse is if... And the chopsticks are up the nose. You wish somebody would just shoot you right now.
You dread, son.
You think you liked him better with a red nose. He's like Darth Vader, Hitler, and the Reverend from Footloose all rolled into one. He never lets you do anything. You're forced to work his land and obey his ridiculous decrees.
Mandate the ninth, thou shalt not pierce thine own flesh while living under thy father's roof.
You're pretty sure even serfs could stay out past 9 on weekdays. You want change.
If we all stop eating, he has to let me go to Warped Tor.
But you're not sure your fellow revolutionaries can be trusted. Nobody in the world has it as bad as you. Then you realize your dad's not a dictator. He's an L.L. Bean catalog.
All right, son, this is it.
You're going to be different. You're not going to sell out. You're going to read books. Have interesting conversations with interesting people.
You only have tuna fish in water, and then you have tuna fish in oil.
You'll be the millionaire astronaut rock star that he never was. You don't even know why he keeps that stupid job.
Hey, Dad, I think I'm going to need to go to summer school.
Okay, so you might be in over your head.
You didn't make your student loan payment.
I need you to work the holiday. I'm not gonna fix your hot water.
Sometimes when it feels like everybody's out to get you, it's nice to have a little extra protection.
Thanks, Dad.
You know he'd take a bullet for you. The least you can do in return is stay out of trouble.
Hey, kid, want a free credit card?
Yeah, okay.
But no more fantasies. You feel like you know your dad pretty well these days. Really got a handle on the old guy. Wait, he played guitar? Of all the things you considered your dad, a person was never one of them. Maybe it's the letters, or the diploma, or maybe it's a these, but you realize he's a guy. A guy who's had fears, desires, hopes, disappointments. He has no idea what comes next, but he's doing his best to figure it out. He's you.
The six ways you see your dad. I think that's essentially important, not because we don't fit into the template. I know I don't fit into that template of dad. They really, but they bring up various stages that are true in a general term. It might change here and there, but generally. So I never considered myself the obvious or normal dad. In fact, I remember once when my when Jack, my son, was coming home some kind of school thing. Here I am again. There's some school thing with the father and the sons were there, and I remember, and Jack was younger. He was, I don't know, I can't even remember ages in terms of this, but he was younger, you know. And we had walked around and met all the fathers, and you know, they showed here's what the kids did with popsicles, and here's a kid who made a robot out of onions, and here's another guy, you know, and there's a, you know, and the fathers were there. And we were coming home, and I remember my father. Oh, there was, now that was a Freudian slip. I remember my father saying, see this? That was a Freudian slip. We're not going to talk about Freudian slips now, but we will. Well, someday, don't worry about it. We'll get around to that. Maybe if you listen to Four Culture Radio, you'll hear me say, talk about Freudian slips. I think my son said, wow, he said something like, well, you're really old. You're really old. Because he had a sense that these guys were so, they were so young. And yet he said, and he realized he had this understanding that there was a disparity in years between the two of us. And I went, well, geez, thanks a lot, you know, for telling me that. I don't like to think of it like that. And he said, yeah, but you're so much cooler than all those other guys' dads. And I realized that it wasn't just the fact that those dads were wearing, every one of them, yes, they were wearing Doofus Magoo shorts. Okay, it wasn't just that. Okay, it was the fact that essentially I was different. And he was trying to understand the fact that, like, well, you're older than them, and yet they're all kind of alike, and they fade into one another, and you stand out, you know. And that was a wonderful thing for to have a kid notice that at that age, you know. So I, um, So I took him to an ice cream store, and then I left him there for an hour, and I went out to, like, I went out to a bordello and came back. No, but that was really something. And so I'm not here to put myself on a pedestal, because God knows we can't make a pedestal large enough to really do that. But just that was an interesting thing, only in the fact that, you know, you have all these, as a child, you do, whether you're a parent or not now, you have all these things that go on in your development and your identity. And who do you become? You become your parents in so many ways. As different as you might be, you become them. Now, more than likely, men become fathers and women become mothers. Why are you laughing at that now? You're laughing at that for some reason. Here's Jeremy to comment on that. Jeremy, well, you're 21. Are you just realizing? Wait a second. Could this possibly be someone on the phone? Do we have somebody calling in?
You actually do, yes.
It's Skylar Hall.
Whoa. Hello, Mr. Cotola. How are you doing this evening?
It's Skylar, Sky Hall, hear it thunder, can you hear it, Sky Hall? How are you?
You were waiting for an opportunity to do that, weren't you?
I want to write the words and put it on, I want to get a karaoke thing, and I want you to run it on your show all the time.
Okay. If you do it, I'll run it.
Okay. How you doing? You actually called in. Someone called in. How are you? What's up? Are you following this?
Now we don't have to delete your Skype account.
That's right. That's right. Are you following this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have anything to contribute with this? We haven't even gotten into the crux of it, but...
I have a question for you.
Oh, a question. Oh, wow. Good.
Because you were saying just a few moments ago that you found that... And your child said that you were very different from the average father at the parent-teacher thing.
Right.
Now, was that a conscious choice to be the more progressive, the more, with it, hip sort of dad, or... And was it because you were trying to be like your own father or the opposite of your own father? Because everyone seems to fall in one.
Well, first of all, it's not conscious. I'm nothing like my father. I mean, No, it was not conscious. I was not trying to be cool. I was just being myself, which has two effects in my life. I think it's rebellious to my parents, because my parents were not extroverts. They were not anything like this. I learned this out of not being like them, or, you know, being really crazy but no, it wasn't conscious, and I'm different. I'm older, but I'm different than the average person, and so as a father, I'm going to be different.
So you attribute a lot of your personality not to being... You know, not because of who. Well, actually, yes, because of who your parents were, but because you wanted to be the counterexample.
Well, I didn't. I never wanted to be like my parents, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting.
Yeah,
at.
Yeah, and I think that happens too. Of course, there are certain things I know that I am very much like my father and my mother in certain ways, not in this way. In fact, people. My cousins and other people had said, used to joke with me, they used to say, where did you come from? Not from those two, because it was just so different. But, you know, a lot of things come into play with that. And also, I do attribute a lot of this personality, good or bad, to them not because of who they were characteristically, but because of how they treated me and how they allowed me to express myself, how they allowed me to be creative. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There's all that support, which was very silent. It wasn't strong, and I wasn't pushed, and that just left me in this area to do and say and be free with my expression, which I'm sure they felt. Well, I know in the case of my mother, because I had the pleasure of before she died of discussing this stuff when she came to some realizations. I couldn't do that with my father, but so I do know that they recognized that they wanted me to be a lot different than them.
And I think that's a lot of the strength of all good parents, really, is not so much trying to shape who their child is going to be, but allowing their child the opportunity to be whoever they want to be. And that sounds like what your parents have done. It sounds like what you've done with Ray and Jack. Jack, thank you.
Yes.
I don't hear Jack's name as often. I apologize.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's the real the crux of it is just allowing that freedom. I know I certainly can say the same for my father. I mean, if he didn't allow me to being who I want to be, then I wouldn't be talking to you right now, most likely.
It's so much better to have the it's not better. I think it's essential. And gosh, I'm not going to get Freudian and stuff like that. We'll talk, we'll get the guys who know that stuff. But I think, it is essential that whether you do or don't go the path that, your parents wanted you to go, that you do have their support. I mean, and that they actually look you in the eye and say, hey, okay, go ahead. Don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you have to have that support, whether it's, spoken or just kind of implied, it needs to be there because you have to be able to take the chances of on your own, but it still at the same time have that safety net.
Because nothing's worse, and I see this in people. I'm not a psychiatrist, and I don't play one on TV, and I don't know, but I just know you do, yeah. But I see all the time, I don't even know people's parents, but I could see their parents in them, not in the good ways. Okay, in the good ways, you never really know it, but you can always see it in the bad ways. There's unsettled things going on.
Right. Yeah, they have issues that they've just never bothered to work through. Probably aren't even aware that they're there.
Yeah, I wonder when that came about, that they started calling things issues. If we were talking about these things in the 60s and maybe even early 70s, we wouldn't be using issues. We actually use the words problems.
Hmm. That is an interesting change. I like that.
It's considered a bad word.
Problem is considered a bad. Is that part of the new age self help thing?
Not last. You're not a loser. You're the last winner and shit like that.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what that stuff has done for anyone, but
not much. I don't think.
But I know, that issue. You have issues. You have issues. Yeah.
Or the other one is challenges.
Yeah. Challenges. Yeah. What is a challenge? Isn't it a problem? Why do we not want to use problem?
Because it makes people sound like math equations.
Where's Doc when you need him?
You think he'd know?
Oh, I'm saying math.
Where's you get Doc on the. Maybe he'll call in. Maybe he's.
Don't answer.
We don't have. Don't answer. Finally, we got calls. We're not answering. We just want you to call in so you can hang up.
We want it to seem like we're popular, but we won't answer them.
The deal with parents. May I ask you, are your parents still alive, Scott?
They are.
Okay.
I have no grandparents left, but I have both my parents.
Okay. Okay, so then, so are you, do you feel very, you're comfortable then with the...
Oh, absolutely. I was just over there for a couple hours prior to Chronicles tonight, just eating dinner and helped my mom with her computer and everything. So, yeah, we are on wonderful terms. They're very supportive of everything that I do. And so I couldn't ask for better parents, to be honest with you.
Good. That's a good thing. You don't have issues.
I don't. I'm sure I do, and I'm just not aware of them. But I don't have any issues that I'm aware of or any problems or challenges or anything like that.
Well, that's good because, so many people mask that stuff. They feel like, those are my parents. I got to love them. But, boy, do I hate this, and this, and this, which I guess it's okay. But if you don't deal with it with them, how do you deal with it? When I have Dr. Karen Wyatt on again, but she has this whole new program we're going to talk about that has to do with teaching kids things and stuff. Because we're teaching kids teaching kids things today. I'm not making a judgment on this. That I don't know if it gets in the way of how they understand their parents, but I always felt this is very simple. And let me know if you agree with this. Anybody in the room, anybody out there, anybody wants to call up or what have you. Here's the deal. I think a kid, whether he has one parent, two parents, or the whatever, whether he doesn't know it's his real parent. I mean, there's so many different configurations of having two people. It's got to be two. Whether even in same-sex marriage, doesn't matter, because you're growing up in this, and these are the two figures that play this these roles. And I just think the kids sit back, and they say, all they're saying to themselves is, look, can you just love me and take care of me? And they're not, and kids are not, they don't care if you're like, I see my dad grabs the cantaloupe out of the refrigerator, knocks it down on the floor and eats it off the floor like a dog. A kid doesn't care about that. A kid doesn't care. And then the wife comes in and goes, we're going to have to do that again, Morty. What are you doing eating the cantaloupe off the floor, Morty? And the kid's just sitting there going, they're wild, aren't they? But they love me, so I'm okay. You know what I'm saying? And that the minute, they just don't care. I mean, kids are selfish, and kids understand what they need from parental figures. Now, do you think I'm wrong on that?
But I think it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you have absolutely, you want, from even as 4 or 5 years, 6 years old, kids want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to be told any different. But at the same time, I think they know when they're in over their heads, and they need mom, and they need dad. And they wouldn't give anything to not have them around. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's what I mean. I say, just love me and be there for me. If I get into trouble, you help me get out of it. You guys, right? And the parent, that's all we care about. We don't care how you're wearing your hair. We don't care about what dress he likes you in or whatever. You don't do that or whatever. They don't care that you're both women. We don't care. It's true. The kid's just sitting there going, will you just take care of me? I'm a kid, for God's sake. and I would just love me, okay? Because I got to go out there in that stinking world, you know, and do what I got to do.
And right.
All the other stuff, you know, whether it's spiritually, sexually, whatever is going on, it's all moot compared to how the kid is treated. That's why, isn't that the difference between a kid? Let's say you put your kid in a closet with a raccoon, right? Boy, that's gonna scar on the. Yeah, you know, it's like my father used to put me in a closet with a raccoon. You know, what did I do? Why didn't my father love me? In other words, the same issue. That's the same issue, as dramatic and comedic and extreme as I make that scenario. That's the same issue as if a parent did something a lot less, but it can affect them. The same, you know, it can affect them, impact them the same way.
That's absolutely. Just,
yeah, good.
I mean, it's even something as simple as, you know, not doing the right theme for the birthday party that they wanted. You know, that can, and not that it should, but it can have a kind of profound effect because it depends on how the parent is perceived, you know, as not really caring what the kid wants or something like that. You know, that can scar, even though it really shouldn't.
Birthday party themes. Now that's another one. That one.
That's almost as bad as getting locked in the closet with a raccoon.
Almost. Yes.
and issues. That goes back. I could imagine though, and that's the whole thing too. I could imagine a kid. You'd have to be a really rich kid in my day. If you were a rich kid, you could tell Meta and Peter, they would be, not mother and father. Oh, Meta, could my birthday party this year be something more on the theme of the French Revolution? You know,
Papa.
No, Meta, Peter, right? That would be okay because you're rich. You know,
it's a
kid,
a guillotine, right?
Yeah, a kid in the city, or a kid, you know, an ethnic kid, growing up like me, says, "Hey, can we do my birthday party and have everybody dressed like knights in armor?" Says, "Yeah, maybe if you win the $1 million lottery tomorrow. In the meantime, we got a cake coming from Ebbinger's, and we don't even have enough candles. So just be happy all your friends are coming over. I'm amazed you even have friends. Ah, you know." And then, you know, you're just like, well, that's okay. They're still giving me a party, so.
Right.
So things, presents. That's all kids care about, presents.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what I'm talking about. Give to me. Show me love. Show me this. Show me. Do all this now or else I'll become an actor.
or an internet radio host.
Or an internet. It's like I told Jiggy Jaguar.
Apparently, I didn't get enough.
I told Jiggy Jaguar last week. I said, look, you're a radio guy. I'm a guy on radio. There's a whole different character. Oh, my goodness. But, thanks for calling in, Sky.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad. Well, it's always good to be had, isn't it? you're going to come back one day when we talk about things that none of the audience can understand with Dr. Walter, aren't you?
Sure, absolutely.
We talk about revolving neutrons and atoms that go split in time and space and everything. You know that, I'm not going to talk about it now, but that thing on Mars is moving around. Have you heard about that?
I haven't been keeping up, but I'll have to look it up.
Curiosity. Good thing they didn't send a cat up there with it.
They would have killed it.
Thank you, Sky. plug your show.
Yes, absolutely. Every Wednesday night, right here on SRN1, Hotspot Radio at hotspotradio.net. All the best music from various genres across any era you can come up with. This coming Wednesday will be a free-for-all, so anything you want to hear, let me know. I'll play it.
And boy, Sky knows all this junk. I couldn't even approach him with the things that he plays. He really knows what he's doing up there. So go have some fun. What?
Does he play any Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine?
Do you have any?
I have played Jello Biafra.
Yes, he's played Jello Biafra. Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine, my favorite name. I've never even heard one thing. I would go see them just to say, hey, you know what I saw last night? Because I love that name. I don't even care. What did they do? I don't know. They just, there's always room for Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo Music Academy. I don't know. Thank you, Sky, and I'm going to get that song together. I got to tell you, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I will do it.
Absolutely. See you later, Frank.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And someone actually, there he is, Sky Hall. Sky Hall plays that music. It's so great, that hot spot with the Sky Hall. My name is Frank Atomo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Look at that look. Right here, we're going into the second hour. Do you want to do more commercials, or you have anything to say? Anybody have anything to say so far? Because we're going to go to mothers next. You haven't talked much, and we know your father has been on this show, and once in a while sits next to you because he just has nowhere to go. And you're there, and he's there, obviously proud of you or what have you. I don't want to say anything personal, so you just tell me, in terms of just you and your, no, it doesn't matter, you and your relationship with your dad, how does that affect you and, because you want, you're a comedian, you're trying to do this, you're trying that, do you feel better? First of all, your father is, how many questions am I going to ask? Your father is supportive of you, I know that, but tell us a little bit about him, because if he was here, he wouldn't even tell us about himself. He just had another stupid hat on. And is that embarrassing that with the hats? The hats? His father always wears these hats.
I like hats too.
You like hats too, that's true.
I don't wear them as often as he does, but I like them, yeah.
So what do you feel about this stuff? And you're only 21, so you're just going out into the world. You have, six jobs, right? Or so you had six jobs. Well, you can't keep one. And you had all these jobs, and you're trying to do this comedy thing. And you're going to college. So what is it with your father that helps you? I don't know what the question is all about. Tell us about the relationship with your father and how it affects you.
I guess one of the biggest things I can say about that is that he, you said how he supports my goals and decisions in life and things like that, but it, probably more so than anybody else that I know, really, does he, and he tells me almost every day how I need to keep striving and never give up and never settle for anything else, because unfortunately he did at one point in his life and he regrets it, so he parts that wisdom on me and it means a lot, and he just wants me to be happy, and he knows that one day I reach my goals, and tenacity, which is what I said right now. But so that's the biggest thing. He doesn't want me to settle in life, and he wants me to reach my goals that I'm striving for.
That's what I was saying about my father, which is like, you know, it was just like just, but they didn't say, in those days, they didn't, well, my parents, and I'm sure other people, they didn't express it per se. They didn't actually say it. They were actions. What happened? Oh, were you going to say something? No. Okay. So there's no comment yet from Ray. We're going to move on to mothers and then look at that. But I want to do some of the father pop culture things here. First, I want to tell you that you are listening to Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, and the man's name adorns the title of the show. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, Tom Savino will be coming back. And Tom Savino. That's the answer of a Batanto joke that does not have a question. And we're going to have Dr. Karen Wyatt going to be back as soon as we, and tell you about her project. That will be a little bit more sane than most of these shows that we've been doing. I don't know what else I'm going to do. There's still other people going to be coming back and doing things as we go to August and into Labor Day. What do we got here in August? We have three more shows after this. Go ahead. But not that close. Okay, we got three more shows after this one in August. So August is a hot. August is a big month.
You won't be here for this.
You won't be here for that. Well, make sure. Okay, we'll make sure we got that down. St. Thomas next Friday night for anybody who's in there. Another fantastic live show. St. Thomas with me and maybe my son Jack, and of course a bag full of joke songs and entertainment. How I fit all that entertainment in one bag. I walk in, and I got the bag, and they go, is that it? Is that the bag filled with entertainment? And I went, yeah. And they go, I'd have thought it was three times as big for all the entertainment. The people lining up to come in, older people, younger people. I transcend all, my audience transcends all of the ages. And that's because I will stoop to just about anything to get them to stay. I will make up. I will create and write songs about each and every person who comes to see me and sing it right. You've seen me, I do it right.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what happens if you come to see us at Lingolstown, Pennsylvania here next week. I guess that's the 16th already. What else are we doing here today? I wanted to go over this thing, too, because if you think about we played Godfather. Of course, the whole idea of having a Godfather, having more than one father. Godfather is somebody who stands up for you in the Christian, it's Catholic religion, when you receive a sacrament early on when you're a kid or whenever you receive the two sacraments. And someone stands up for you. And it's not like your father. It's someone else. Could be an uncle. And you become your God. There's more sacraments than that. Three sacraments. It actually starts when you're born. They do because they put your head, they don't put your head under water. They sprinkle the water on you, and somebody has to stand there and be for instance. I don't think. Do you know your godfather?
Does everybody have one?
Whoa, okay, so I don't know. I have no idea. You were brought up what, Cherokee or what? What were you brought up?
I guess I have. I don't know who it is.
Okay, so you don't have a godfather. Ray, do you know your godfather?
Do you have a godfather?
See, he doesn't know that either.
Well, you would know.
I think Uncle Kevin, I think Kevin's your godfather.
Really?
Well, I can't imagine who else it would be. What's because your uncle, who you just met in California. Yeah. I think he's your godfather. I think he stood, even though he wasn't here, I think he stood up for you when they put the holy water on your head. And the priest said, he in a couple of years he'll be ripe. No, that was a bad joke. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Actually, I did. I mean everything. I meant it all. It's horrible. But Godfather is somebody else. So in essence, in lore, tradition, which religion is based upon, and all the legend and everything like that. It's not enough to have a father; it's a godfather. Doesn't seem to bother you at all if you don't have one, right? Right? Is that it?
It doesn't matter
either way.
The term godfather seems vaguely more important than father because of the word God in front of it. But yet, the father, without the word God in front of it, is more prominent in your life.
Well, the father is the source, or half the source. As I learned in biology, half the source is the father, and the other, and the godfather, I think it's God because he stands up for you spiritually. It came from the tradition of that ceremonial thing when a person is baptized. And the baptized comes from John the Baptist, who was putting people's head on the water and doing stuff and waiting for the Messiah in the fiction. People think because I'm such a minus religious person, they think that I don't know this stuff. But I know this stuff. I studied this stuff. And I think it's been a great help for me in literature. I certainly know a lot more than my parents ever knew in that. But the point is, a godfather, my parents would want it that way too. They'd want me to know more than them. But that's not what I'm talking about. So anyway, godfather in the hello, you got your own show going on over there? Oh, what? We can hear that.
Oh, yeah. What?
We can hear it.
Oh, crap.
All right, that's right. He put in the microphone. So. But we talking about in father, and you think about godfather, God Daddy, and if you think of any here, come along. And any of you want to call in, you know, it's frank.catolo. If you can think of some more of these, the name Father, Daddy, Papa, Pop.
Papa Smurf.
There's one. Okay, Papa Smurf. If you could think of these, how they fit in pop culture, how we use the father, the sire, the father of in these pop. For instance, what they call Father Christmas. Was that Hercules? Or no, that was Santa. Was Santa Claus Father Christmas?
Yeah, but the Kinks did a song called Father Christmas. That's the first thing I think of.
You know, so you think of a song. Well, they got it from somewhere, too. Remember the Neo-Postmodernists? What do you think? They just woke up one day and made that up? That didn't happen. It's like your jokes. They're all other people's jokes. There's only five jokes in the world. We tell jokes, and they're all the same jokes. We just change things. Go ahead.
Everybody's stealing jokes.
And also, wait, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So they call God Father, because he would be the Father. The Son would be Jesus, and the Holy Ghost would be Jesus dead. I always wondered, how come Jesus gets two roles in that Trinity? How could it be a Trinity if Jesus is two of them? He's the dead Jesus and the live Jesus. Did you realize that? The live Jesus and the dead Jesus are two different Jesuses. And why is it Jesus's? Why isn't it Jesus-I as a plural? The Jesus-I. The Father, Son, no, Father and Jesus. Why isn't it that?
I like that a lot better.
I think we should. You know that new Pope. He's up for a whole bunch of things. Maybe we could tell him. How about this? You know, the Trinity has two Jesuses, and it's so tough to say Jesuses because it's the Holy Ghost is Jesus, or is the Holy Ghost? It doesn't matter. He got two roles. Has two roles, not God. That's incorrect English. He has two roles.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is that He has two roles, and then the roles are what was served at the Last Supper.
No, it was unleavened bread. Okay. Well, you haven't studied any of this stuff, have you?
I was in the back pew playing Game Boy or something.
You were in the... okay, the Father Christmas, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, and of course that's why they call priests fathers. There's Father Figure. Now, Father Figure... excuse me. Now, we have to go back to the Greeks. We go back to the Greeks, and what is the very famous... Father, now we haven't talked about daughters yet, daughters and fathers, but what is the fame? Do you know? Have you read? You haven't read the Greek classics, have you? Did you do that in school? You go to college, right? What is this? The Jell-O Biafran University? Is this the Guantanamo School of Medicine where you attend?
Yeah. Yeah, Jell-O Biafra just stands in front of the class.
You've heard of Oedipus, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Oedipus is the mother-son relationship. Okay, from the Greek classics. The father-daughter is Electra. Electra was the girl who was in relationship with her father the way Oedipus was in relationship with his mom.
I did study Greek mythology a couple semesters ago, and I remember Oedipus.
Okay, but did I say mythology? No, I didn't. I was talking about the three classics. Although I'm sure they believed
you
in me.
You were bombarding me with not knowing anything from school, so I wanted to tell you that I did learn.
You know, you deserve to be bombarded. If I was your father, I'd bombard you a lot more than he bombards you. We don't even know where he is tonight, do we? We have no idea where this man, what this man is doing. You know, he's not listening to you on the show.
He could be.
Okay. Hi, Steve. Okay, also we got, now if we go to Papa, what do we get? They used to call Ernest Hemingway Papa Hemingway. All his pals called him Papa Hemingway because he was like the symbolic dad of the whole group that used to hang around him.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. All right, so Papa Hemingway. And they used to say, hey, Papa, hey, you know, these are like grown men. So it gets a little weird, you know. Yeah. Hey, Papa. There's a great... I don't know how great it might be, but it has its moments. There's a wonderful movie called Papa's Delicate Condition, which has to do very good with the... It has a lot to do with parenthood. Papa's Delicate Condition, starring...
First, I thought you said Delicatessen.
Papa's Delicatessen was another show altogether. Papa's Delicate Condition, starring Jackie Gleason.
Ah.
A wonderful...
One of these days...
See, that's how you know. See, you gotta look further into this stuff.
I know about him. I just, okay.
What is this? Wait, what did he say? The Father is the Creator. The Son is Jesus. Here we go. The Redeemer, the Holy Spirit Ghost, is not Jesus. It's not? He's the non-corporeal incarnation of God.
Corporeal.
The Spirit came down after the resurrection. Sky, I don't understand that at all. He's the Holy Ghost... Is the... What does he say? Read that.
The Holy Ghost, or Spirit, is the non-corporeal incarnation of God.
Why does God need an incarnation if he's got his Son and him? I don't get this.
So there's not two Jesuses, there's two gods in the trip.
I'm a little... I don't know, Sky. I don't know about this one, Sky. I'm left out here.
God, I, and Jesus.
God, I, me, myself, and God. That's, Gandhi. I don't know about this. Gandhi, what do you... Gandhi was a father figure. A father figure. Father figure is one of those things. Lots of people who don't have fathers take on father figures. People who are men who take care of them. I guess women can do that, too.
What about the term pops?
Pops.
Ghetto, cool.
I got to find out more about this Jesus thing. Here I thought I was ready to navigate an entirely new jargon into the Catholic religion. Father and Jesus. And it's not. That's a lot of coffee coming up on me. And a McDonald's chicken sandwich.
There you go.
I know. So the Father is a creator, the Holy Ghost is not Jesus. We're going to get into that. We'll have to have somebody on who knows. No, you know what? Nobody will come on and talk to me about that who knows, you know, dead on knows about that stuff because they know that I'm not going to take it. I mean, I make jokes or anything, but I mean, I'm not going to be very serious. So, we're going to, you know what I'm talking about. They're threatened by my... By my atheism? I don't know. By my what?
Your non-believability?
What happened to trajectory and disgust? What are the two themes of the... Wasn't it
That's
disgust?
Like literally the exact opposite of what I...
Disgust and trajectory. Wasn't it? What are the two documentary themes?
Tenacity and gratitude.
That's what I meant. Disgust. And transfiguration. Demosity. What is demosity?
Tenacity.
I know what is tenacity. I'm not asking. I'm just saying demosity. There's no such word as demosity. Well, thanks, Sky. I know that you are way up there on the intelligence levels in terms of me. In contrast to me, I mean.
Did you come up with that, or did
he? No, he probably, and I have no reason to think he's wrong. I just thought that, see, I was taught wrong. I don't know. When it got to that point, I thought it was the, there he goes, there's the Holy Ghost, because he died. And then they saw him and they put their finger in him and Thomas. Doubting Thomas comes from that, right? Because Thomas said, I don't think you're dead. Hey, that's what happened. You said, but the scene in my head is just so different than you saw it with the Max von Sydow and the greatest story ever told. And you remember that? It was John Wayne. Surely, yes, the son of Christ. He was, of God, I mean, I don't know. But, and there was, Jeffrey Hunter. I couldn't watch that movie, King of Kings, because I want to say this. I'm going to say this, okay? Jeffrey Hunter, who was supposed to be the original Captain Kirk on, and was in the pilot, was supposed to be the original Captain Kirk in Star Trek. But Jeffrey Hunter was gorgeous. If you see King of Kings, I don't care whether you're homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, trisexual, disexual, no sexual, asexual, you'll look at what's his name? What did I just say? I forgot his name already. No, Captain Kirk. You look at Jeffrey Snyder. That's not his name. Jeffrey Killback. What did I just say? Jeffrey Hunter. You look at Jeffrey Hunter. Watch that movie, King of Kings, and you fall in love with this guy in a very weird way. They did not mean it that way because he's playing Jesus. He's playing this holy man. And it's like all you want to do, he's got these gorgeous boys, all you want to do is kiss him. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like, but I don't mean like, you know, I don't mean like, you know, they're like just, you, and you, and when he creates, when the, when Jeffrey Hunter in King of Kings is working, and he gets the apostles, these guys, they're like, I'm going with him, man. You know, you should see their wives. You know, it's like, you have to leave your wife. You should see the woman they hang out with. I'm going to go hang out with Jeffrey Hunter. I'm going to hang out with this guy. Look at those eyes, you know. God, walk on water. We don't care. Just give me a look, huh? Give me a wink. Gorgeous. I think that was a hard, that's why it's horrible casting. What does it say here? Before Jesus died. Okay, we're going to do this now. We might as well do this. Why not? Before Jesus died, he said that the Spirit would come down to help humanity. Now, those are not the exact words. The Spirit is what inspires humanity to do things in accordance with God's will. And mind you, Sky is agnostic. But this is what he was taught in church. So they tried to confuse, they continually confuse the hell out of us now with that. So in other words, he's not, the Spirit's going to come if they kill, and then, I don't know, see? And that's what they do, they double talk you. All right, I'm not here to put them down. I don't really care about any of that stuff. I just want, thank you, Sky, though, for telling us. What is the matter? What is wrong with you? A terrible joke. Well, we're not going to hear that one there, too. My name is Frank Catolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show. We're chronicling stuff about parents. Okay, what else did we do? Papa. We didn't get Papa's delicate condition. How about this? Papa's got a brand new bag. I always love that one, right? That's a song. That's James Dean. Papa got a brand new bag.
Is it the same bag you bring in the roasters? Is it an entertainment bag? What kind of bag is it?
You know, when I met James Brown, and this is a funny guy. He was a funny guy. James Brown, they used to call him the hardest working man in show business. You know, Papa's got a brand. He could dance. He could jump. What an act. What an act. Nobody ever created songs of a soul music fashion the way he did and what he did. And he was a perfectionist. He charged any member of his band hit a wrong note or something, $50 for every wrong note they had to pay. Yes, he was incredibly nuts, okay? And I met him, I don't know how late it was in his career. It was definitely before he took PCP. It's later on. But I have all, I tell you, James Brown stories go way back because Wolfman Jack knew him from years and years ago. But the hardest working man in show business. But I got to tell you this from my impression, okay? He was dumber than a bag of thermometers. The guy, unless he was totally on something when I met him, is like, he just, the eyes opened up and he laughed. And yet he got on stage and you couldn't even get a conversation with him. You know? What's this? Hello, Mudda. Oh, right. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. How could we forget that? Let's see. You know what? Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Yep. No. I kind of said it. I want to say it. Let's see. Well, there's a guy. I'm going to do this with my.
I love him.
Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Okay. Here he goes. Bless you. Let's not have that stuff going on here, okay? Let's take it easy. Here it is, right here. 1963. Alan, the great, late, great Alan Sherman. This was a hit single.
Hello, mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner. He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters. And the lake has alligators. And the head coach wants no sissies. So he reads to us from something called Ulysses. No, I don't want this should scare you, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy? They're about to organize a searching party. Take me home, oh mother father, take me home. I hate Granada, don't leave me out in the forest where I might get eaten by a bear. Take me home. I promise I will not make noise or mess the house with other boys. Oh, please don't make me stay. I've been here one whole day. Dearest father, darling mother, how's my precious little brother? Let me come home if you miss me. I would even let Aunt Bertha hug and kiss me. Wait a minute, it stopped hailing. Guys are swimming, guys are sailing, playing baseball, gee, that's better. Mata fada, kindly disregard this letter.
He died in 1973. Wow. That's a... if there are people out there, I hope you got your Cotolo Chronicles notebooks. If you never heard that, you might want to look at through Amazon or go on eBay or what have you, look for an album called My Son, the Folk Singer. And Alan Sherman was a hilarious guy back in the 50s. And he did... that's a very famous classical piece. And I thought I would know that, like, off the top of my head, and I don't. But he did it. He used those melodies. So well before there was the scheming, jerky mess face. What was his name? Who's the kid? Who's the kid, the guy who does all these fake songs?
Weird Al?
Who?
Weird Al Yankovic?
Yeah, I said scheming. Scheming. What did I call him? What happened? Oh, he's watching. scheming, yeah. Yeah, Weird Al. Long before there was Weird Al, there was.
I like Alan Sherman, but I mean, they were both on Dr. Demento, so.
Weird Al is, Weird Al is fine. And
another one I like by Alan Sherman, I mean, that's his most popular one, but I always like Beep Beep. Do you remember Beep Beep?
Yes, I do. But this is not a show about Alan Sherman, so we'll let him go. This is a show about mothers and fathers. But no, there's the point of that, you know, because there was camp. And, you know, he's a Jewish kid in New York. So Jewish kids in New York were sent to camps. I always refused to go. And, you know, one of the reasons I refused to go, because I did not want to wear Doofus Magoo shorts. And they would make me wear Doofus Magoo shorts. I felt I'm not wearing Doofus Magoo shorts. I would not join the Cub Scouts or the Boy Scouts or any Scouts at all, anything, because of the uniforms and stuff. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we're here waiting for the next, we're going through another half hour here as we move through Cotolo Chronicles Y2K plus 13, August the 8th, Ocho de Augusto, right here. Jeremy Long is with me, and Ray Cotolo's laughing at an entirely different show on the back. He's just getting off watching something entirely different and having a fun time. You too can have a fun time with other shows and material. Don't worry. Don't, you know, if this is not entertaining, you get the hell out of here. You know, go find something else. You can, by the way, though, if you enjoy this show and you want to hear more of it, you want to hear what you missed over the past couple of weeks, months. Let's see if we got the, wait, we have this here too. You can get that, those particular, you can get those particular things. I think I have it here. You can get those particular, where, here, I'll write here. Why don't we just let this be your,
Sky was writing.
Sky was writing? Well, we'll get back to Sky in a second.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Yeah, there is going to be a Juiced Talk radio also. So there's going to be all sorts of streaming things and ways that you can listen to stuff from all this. But if you go to Juice Talk, you get those fabulous D shows, Velvet Steel shows, and these Cotolo Chronicles, which may have missed, which you can put on your iPod totally free, and just don't sell advertising on them. Well, I don't know why you would do that, but there are stations that I think do that or try to do that or rip me off. But that doesn't make me look like a fool, and I don't really care about that either. I do know that I will attack any radio station that does it with guns and plenty of ammo. I won't do that. That takes me back to, you know, you got to watch what you say, because people take things very seriously. It's amazing. Look at that stupid notification that I was dead on Facebook by our good friend, the Dez. Our good friend, the Dez. Some people actually believe that. Juice Talk, and there's going to be a special... What?
Who's he friends with? Not me.
The Dez has no friends. No. I don't know how he is. He's got a Facebook. You know, there's actually a three. Maybe it's me, Jiggy Jaguar. It's just two friends, two mutual friends, and only two friends. In any event, in all events, oh yeah, he's got another one. We're looking at Papa's and the Papa Oom Mau Mau. I guess so. Just using that, using the Papa Oom Mau Mau. And there's probably a lot of Papa songs. Now, how about spiders that are called Daddy Long Legs? Let's go to Daddy, right? Daddy Long Legs.
Yeah.
Nothing else for them? We haven't even started on Mothers. It's 35 minutes after.
Daddy.
Yeah, it's a hard one, huh? Daddy, Daddy. Daddy's home. There was a
song.
Daddy, plenty of songs. Oh yeah, right. Name two. Go ahead. Plenty of songs. He goes, hey, are you kidding me? The Daddy songs. Echo that list goes on forever. I can tell you that. Yet name two.
Yeah, there's
Daddy in the Sack and Daddy's Home from Work.
Daddy's Home from Work. What were you watching? The Electric Company. What are you talking? Daddy's Home from Work. What's Daddy?
Those are very popular songs.
Okay. The Buggles? What was the name of that group? The Bungles? The Buggles?
Video Killed the Radio Star?
No, the Bungles, the Buggles, those guys, the guys who were famous from, they were over in Australia, the Bungles, the Bingles, the Troubles, the Krubles. I forgot their names. They did songs for kids. Anyway, we're going to go to Mothers.
I wonder if anyone else is going to call in.
Well, I'm wondering. I don't, I think it's 100%. improvement over the last time, as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't matter because we're not worried about that. But let me tell you something about mothers. Now, this is really, there's an old joke about the guy who says, I know, this is in one, I think it's Mel Brooks or, I know, one of the Jewish comedians. Someone's on the phone. Oh, look, it's Kalina Beers. Couldn't be here live, but she called in. Here's Kalina Beers. Can you hear me?
It's
oh, she's listening, and it shouldn't be a delay, darling.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, it's you have delayed. It on. Oh, I don't know why it's delayed. It shouldn't be delayed, but this is going to be confusing to you.
Oh no, it's fine now.
Okay. Well, how nice of you to call in.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us something about what was that? What do you have? Oh, someone else. Now all of a sudden there's all this activity. Don't go away here, Kalina. Just let me know. What are you getting? Is this a show? What? Skylar. I don't know how to use this. Dr. Hook by Sylvia's mother. He's thinking songs.
Sylvia's mother by Dr. Hook.
Oh, Sylvia's mother by Dr. Hook. Kalina, let us know what you feel about. Have you been listening, first of all?
I have been listening.
What have you gotten from this, or what have you been thinking about you and your relationship to parents and stuff, or friends that you know? How does it? We haven't gotten to mothers yet, but I mean, since you're a woman,
you want to know. My relationship with my parents?
Oh, no, I want to know what you've been hearing all this stuff. Do you agree with a lot of it? Do you not agree? Do you feel like your father looks good in shorts? Well, I mean, tell me, what do you feel about the stuff we've said in terms of support and what have you and how...
Well, my parents definitely support me, so... my dad just had a chat with me last night, actually, for... The big thing with my parents is my curfew thing. They're always on me about my curfew, but...
They think you stay out too late?
Well, they just can't sleep until I'm home. But my dad had a chat with me last night, and he's like, you're an adult now, we worry about you, but this is the time in your life where you're supposed to have fun, and if that means you have to be out late... Just be responsible.
This is news to me.
Do you feel, in a sense, though, even though part of you, I'm sure part of you says, yeah, you're right, I'm an adult and I could be on my own, you know, because you want to be on your own, you're adult now and you're doing stuff and you're in college, what have you. But in another sense, aren't you comforted by the fact that they care that much?
Oh, of course, because I know a lot of people whose parents could care less what they do, and I just kind of feel bad for them that their parents don't care about their safety or what they do. So I'm kind of glad my parents, you know, care about me and set rules, but they also let me have a lot of freedoms.
Since you're around a lot of, I'm going to use the word kids because I am almost technically a senior citizen. Although I am, let's face
almost
it.
Technically.
Almost technically. But I'm nowhere near as decrepit as some people who are senior citizens. No, what I'm saying is in the girlfriends and the people, you know, even guys and what, can you sense bad parenthood just from knowing people and seeing how they behave? Do you ever say to yourself, wow, you know, there's an old thing, what did your parents do to you? That's the old saying. You're like, what did your parents do to you? Which makes a lot of sense, right? Do you sense that when you meet or friends that you have?
Yeah. Like, you meet people sometimes just have, like, I don't care attitude, or they just do things, like, sneak out of their house. Like, you really have to sneak out of your house. You can't just say, hey, I'm going. Trust me, I'll be back at a good time. They just sneak out and do whatever they want. But, yeah, sometimes, I don't know.
What about guys? Do you find that you dislike things in guys related to things you don't like for your parent, your father? Or do you find that you're attracted to things that you admire in your father? I mean, how does that affect you? Well, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, I feel like I'm a lot like my dad in a sense where I just like to do things for other people and not expect anything in return. And just, there's a lot of things about my dad that has qualities that I look for in guys, but.
But you don't find them.
No.
Because guys are scum. That's pretty much the. Is that what you're trying to say? These kids.
My mom says to me quite frequently, what? She's like, Kalina, you know, I take a look at these guys and I feel for you. I feel bad for you because there just really aren't that many good guys out there. They don't dress like scum and.
Wait a second, because they're weird, right? Does your mother know? That does your mother know about the Doofus Magoos? I mean that.
I don't know.
You should tell her about it. She knows. She said, "Do you mean those kids who wear the shorts?" And
She works in a high school, so she sees what there is out there.
She is
guys
bombarded with Doofus Magoo shirts.
Oh my god! Yeah, she says, I don't know where all these guys are because all the good ones are taken and all the rest are crap.
Wow. It's like there's a pool. Once the Well of Souls is gone, the world ends. That's the, I'm sure Sky will tell me otherwise, but if I got that wrong. Okay. The Well of Souls at Apocalypse. And once the Well of Souls is full, I think, you can't. So that's it. All the good guys. That's like they're all there and they're all taken. How do the good guys get taken? Is it that there are only? Do the good guys get good girls?
I don't know. A lot of my friends.
How can a bad guy, a bad girl, take a good guy? Then he's not a good guy, right?
I don't know. Like a lot of people are like, why is that guy dating that girl? She's trashy. Or I don't know.
Girls call each other girls trash. Is that
horrible.
They do, right? Yeah. Girls call each other girls trash.
That's, they just that just makes themselves feel better why they didn't get that guy.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. I think this is. I think if we could raise, huh?
There's a lot of drama in relationships with my age group.
I think there's a lot of drama in all relationships and. If a lot of people don't bust, you know, they make the bubble grow without busting, putting a pin in the bubble, and then it grows into, what does it grow into? Resentment and this and that and the other thing.
A shitstorm.
Yeah, I don't like that term, okay? So let's not say that anymore on the show, okay? All right. You can only say windstorm, say thunderstorm, say lightning storm, say anything, but don't say that storm. Crap storm, you could say.
Poop storm?
I don't know about that. Yeah. So you think you're going to be, you think it does have a direct relationship, though, with how your parents treated you and how they and what they teach you and stuff, even now. If you fell madly in love with someone, would you go to your mom and say, uh-oh, you're not going to like this, but, I mean, if you knew there were certain disapprovals, or would you look at why that attraction existed, or do you look? I guess what I'm trying to get at here through this whole thing is how much are we consciously looking at what the influence of our parents in all of our relationships and everything we do in life? That's what I'm trying to say. Why don't we look more closely at that, at those relationships and what they mean, so that we can settle them and feel okay and not be trying to find a mate or a friend or a business person who's going to make up for what we didn't get. That's the most dangerous thing to go out there. And look, do you agree with that?
Yeah.
So,
I do.
Yeah.
But usually if I'm looking for somebody, like, I subconsciously think, oh, would my parents approve of this person?
So you don't subconsciously think. If you're thinking of it, you're consciously thinking of it. So you do? You actually think, like, I'm not going to go out with them because my – really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, and
now, is that because they really because you really respect what they say, or you have the same beliefs, or what? I mean, why is that? Do you think?
I don't want my parents to have a bad relationship with the person I'm dating. I want everyone to just get along, and if they don't approve, I'm like, well, that's... I don't want to have a bad relationship with my parents then, because I'm dating someone they don't approve of.
Okay. That's very, very well said. Very well said. When do you go back to school? When does school start again?
2 weeks, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Then you got to go back and meet all those trashy friends of yours. And those guys and those doofus magoos and all that other stuff that's going on there. It's terrible. Do you think, let me ask you this question. Do you think that women, because I'm not going to say anything. I have my own opinions on this, but I want to ask Kalina. Do you think that women feel generally more mature than men, and so therefore are would more likely to be attracted or be okay with an older man as opposed to boys who pretty much stay kids for so long and yet never look for a mother in the actual age group? Did that question make any sense to you? Do you think your girls, whether those trashy, I don't care who they are, they're trashy, not trashy, you, whether they're doing medicine, not medicine, they own, rational, irrational, got jelly that they use with their profession, whatever the case may be, do you think that women feel more mature than boys their own age?
I would
that
same, yeah.
You do, don't
I think
you?
So. You do. A lot of my friends are okay, like, you're talking to this guy who's 5 years older than you? Good, go for it.
The girls say that.
Yeah.
Not the guys.
No.
The guys stand there in their doofus magoo shorts with drool coming out of the side of their mouth going, oh, we're going to make out or what? Right? That's like this. I'm almost watching baseball. Go. How did these kids get into college? I don't know. I enjoy making fun of boys because they're stupid. They are, and I know I've been stupid. I just, got out of that. But it took a long time to get out of that. But I find younger women more mature than guys in like any which what way. And no one cares. So there you go. A pregnant pause and a void. And what's worse, an empty void. Just took over the show here. Well, thanks a lot. Do you have anything that you want to add that is not that I don't ask as a question to parents? We never even got to mothers. We're going to have to do another whole show just on mothers. We'll have to see how many shows you could do on mothers.
That show will probably be more mature than this show.
Think so?
No.
I don't think we even got anywhere in the conversation.
Just what, dear?
Never mind.
Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to add before you go back to listening to Frank Sinatra and various other wonderful singers? You know, you got to be mature to listen. You know, you do. I know that you have good taste in music. I don't say that just because I'm older and I was alive when Frank Sinatra actually was alive. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I know you two, and I think that a lot more women your age are going to appreciate that kind of music more than men.
Oh, yeah.
See? Aren't you great?
Keep playing Frank, all right?
I will keep playing Frank and Dean. You like that?
Yes.
We played that Dean Martin.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
She was listening to it early, yes? Okay, well, you want to say goodbye to Jeremy?
Sure. Goodbye, Jeremy. I'll probably talk to you later.
Goodbye, Kalina.
Kalina Beers.
Thanks for having me on a guest.
Hey, thanks for, you talk more when you're on like this than when you're here.
Just got to ask some questions and I'll answer.
Okay, that's what we'll do. We got to draw you into it because it's, but okay, well, he'll tell me how you're doing. And you you can listen from school too. And tell all your trashy friends to listen. I want more trashy listeners.
Tell your trashy friends to come over.
I don't have trashy friends.
Oh, but you said you knew trashy. That's true.
That was a horrible. They aren't my friends.
I'm sorry, by the way. I apologize. That was an insult to say, you have trashy friends.
Yeah. knows trashy people, but she's not friends with the trash.
Yeah, that, so that was poor. It was poor judgment for, on my part. So I apologize for that. But if you do run into any trashy people, tell them to listen or give them the address. I'm joking.
More likely for trashy people to listen to the show than her.
No, we have an audience that far exceeds my intelligence, my morale, everything. It's like, I can't believe they listen. I guess it's because
I'll tell all my trashy friends to listen.
That's all you have, isn't it? Not counting Kalina. I don't know how the heck she's your friend. Thank you, Miss Beers.
You're welcome.
And I got to say that if you do find somebody and get married, keep your own name, because you're not going to find a better name than Beers.
I'm very tempted to keep it.
Yeah, keep it, because women can do that now. They couldn't do that in the old days. Well, they could, but they didn't.
Guys take girls' names instead?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
They dress like them. They certainly can take their names, do anything they want these days. Thank you, Kalina. Stay well.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Well, see, it was good to get an impressions from as we dive into the last 10 minutes. Did he say something else, Skylar?
Yeah.
What else did he say? Sometimes the good ones.
Sometimes good guys get good guys.
Well, that's true. Sometimes good guys get good guys. Sometimes good girls get good girls. He's just crossing over the bar. Yeah, you know, it's tough that we always have to make.
He put one of those.
And then he put a what? A wink. It's tough that we have to, because I don't mean to put any kind of aspersion on the fact that there's guys and girls are girls and guys are guys and guys. But you know what? It works the same way. And Skylar knows that, too. It works the same way. Because certainly two guys who are getting together can have the same emotional dramas and everything as two girls do who get together, and two girls with a guy gets together, an older guy, older girl. But you do the math. I don't really want to do it. Mothers, I guess we're just going to have an entirely different new show specifically on mothers. So I call this parents, but it shouldn't be parents. It should be just that. And what I'll do is tell you all, if you do have a chance before we do that show, I'll give you a recommendation. Albert Brooks, a wonderful movie he made called Mother. Did you see that? Mother? Albert Brooks is I guess he's a comic genius, even if he won't follow me on Twitter. But he's busy. And he was once, you know, nominated for Academy Award, so who the heck am I? The thing is this. Mother, there's a movie you want to see because it does relate to boys. There probably are a number of movies you want to see. And you want to go reread Hamlet because it's vengeance for his father. There are just so many things you want to do. But here's what you want to do the most. The next time you feel an extreme emotion, and at across the board, love, hate, starvation, I don't know what else. Anything you feel in extreme, something that boils your blood, something that makes your heart beat faster, something that makes you angry, something that makes you joyous to want to sing or just jump up and down or beat somebody or hit something, whatever it is, stop for a moment and think about where you that reaction is originating in terms of your parents. Think about your parents and think about those emotions, where you got them, what you're doing, why you're doing it, and I think you could save a lot of money in your life. What, you're laughing because you do that?
No.
No. I want no more part of this, Frank. He's saying, please.
I just keep having let me terrible have thoughts.
Terrible thoughts? Well, you're a comedian, and that's what goes on. This stuff goes on here. What else are we doing? I don't know what we're doing next week. We're going to try to get Tom Savino on again to do another story. If you guys, anybody who has Tonto jokes, again, you can write them in to me, and you could follow Jeremy, M. Jeremy Trash MD. What is your gig? Follow Jeremy, because he comes up with some funny things. Follow him on Twitter for some reason.
Jeremy Long, MD.
Jeremy Long, MD. He's not a medical doctor, but he plays one on Twitter, if you want to use MD. Do you know people go to school and spend thousands of dollars and time and energy and stuff to get that at the end of their name? You just walk along and put those two letters.
It's my middle initials, and Jeremy MD Long was already taken, so I put it at the end.
Oh, Michael Dennis?
No. Duncan.
Duncan?
Yeah.
You know, here we are talking about Shakespeare, and Duncan is a character in Hamlet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, because that's the very play where he develops a new kind of donuts. But in any event, and in all events, and certainly in this event, we have been, you have been listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. What are you going to be, what are you going to be doing aside from my documentary? What are you doing the next couple of weeks? Where are you going? Are you going to be anywhere telling jokes or what?
I'll be doing some stuff in Pittsburgh in maybe 2 weeks.
You want to say what? You know, people, they're within ear range. Oh, are you going to be doing?
Are there people in Pittsburgh who listen?
Yeah, yeah. Then when earshot, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be visiting some friends in Pittsburgh, and I'll probably be doing a show at a place called Papa Rocks.
Papa
Rocks. Wow,
we came full circle, yeah? Papa Rocks. Isn't that something? Papa Rocks. Jeremy Long, you'll see it on the marquee. Well, you see it on the marquee now. You might have to go in and say, is Jeremy Long playing today? That's the way you say it.
He's standing outside signing autographs. So.
Jeremy will be outside signing autographs. You could take pictures with him on his phone. He could make a vine of you. And he might even take out our friend Carl. And Carl would talk with you and have fun with Carl. And we should get a royalty. The sales probably went up on cause for this.
Yeah, the... We could get money for this. So this show should be good. So Pittsburgh people stop by.
Ooh, new jokes from Jeremy Long, MD. New jokes from Jeremy Long, MD. And they will be premiering in Pittsburgh. The new jokes of Jeremy Long, MD, in Pittsburgh at Papa Docs. What did I know? It's wrong.
Papa Rocks.
Papa Rock. Well, Papa Doc. Who was I thinking? I was thinking about that guy from Haiti, Papa Doc. Papa, his name was Papa. Oh, my goodness, now I've lost that piece of information.
Hey, what about that one song? I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Huh? Right.
Hey, there's one.
There's another one. Papa, yeah. Yeah, that's a, now everybody's going to be thinking of them. Write them down and talk about them. Or just put Papa. Talk to your friends. Write them down and talk about them. Listen, you will. I guarantee you. You will have tonight. You will probably have dreams of mom and dad. You're going to get on the phone right away. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the Times Row. I am apparent, and it is apparent that we're ready to go out here for now. Jeremy will be back.
About the fact that I'm apparent.
You're not a parent.
Maybe not. Well,
oh, wow. There's how he's going to leave us with that little piece of thing. Who's that, Ben?
That's Cthulhu over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, I don't believe that. I don't think that's happening. I don't know. But we'll find out. Yes, Wolf was a parent. And many parents, many people, many places, many things. We're all nouns. Parents are nouns, and we're all nouns because we're all either people. And we go places or things. It's the only three things. Well, but what?
A proper noun.
You're a proper noun. You're an MD. Proper noun. Jeremy Long. Your last name is what? What is it? Is that a
adjective?
Be an adjective? Long? No. Long way back. We'll figure that out.
Describe something, so it's an adjective.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. In any event, in all events, certain this is that. My Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Hey, come with us next time. Facebook, Frank Cotolo. Skype, Frank Doc Cotolo. And where else? Twitter, @ Frank Cotolo. Jeremy?
Jeremy Long.
Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. Twitter, we already said that. Winston Simmons Productions.
Yeah, all right. They're really writing it down now. They're awesome. Write it down and talk about it. That's today's message.
Don't follow me. Don't add me as a friend. Just write my...
That's a strike. My name down and talk about me. We'll see you again soon. And remember, listen, say hello to your dad. We'll get to we'll do another. Say hello to your dad for me. And I'll put flowers on my for you. will have a ball. See you. Good night, Mrs. Archwell, wherever you are. I got nothing more to say.